What's up? What's up? This is like our first taping of Lip Service in 2019. Yeah. And we're very excited for it because so many things have happened.
Oh my God.
But I'm Angela Yee.
I'm L'Oreal.
I'm Rico Love.
I'm Shamari DeVoe.
Big Ron DeVoe.
Oh man.
I put the big in front of that.
So listen, this is going to be fun because L'Oreal and I are two unmarried, never been married before women.
Yep.
Rico Love is married. And Ronnie and Shamari are obviously married as well. So we're going to hear all different points of views on different things today. But I have been watching Real Housewives of Atlanta, yes. I have to say. And we've discovered a lot of things about you two as a couple. Yes. And we're going to get into it today. Rico Love, this is his second time on the show, and he's like our therapist.
We're glad you're here. You can keep us on track.
I definitely do not have the answers.
I don't know about that. I think you might have some of them.
Like before you guys,
I have a perspective.
Before you guys got here, right, we were talking about blowjobs with a condom. Right? Is that only for prostitutes?
Yes. That's some prostitute-y type shit.
I don't even ever remember using.
If you're comfortable with latex, if you're comfortable with latex in your mouth, that's some whole shit.
Yeah. What does it taste like?
It's safety.
Safety.
It
first.
Tastes like safety.
That's not fun.
I don't think I've ever done that before. So yeah. I definitely think it's for prostitutes.
That's some whole shit.
I'm not a prostitute. I've never done it.
Well, Rico, you never asked a woman to put a condom on, like.
No.
Woman? Hold on. Wait.
To put a condom on you order to give
you. Like, what kind of woman we talking about?
For some head? No.
Right. What you putting a condom on? The Striz app or something?
And Ronnie, we know you guys were wild back in the day.
Yeah.
They never talked to you guys about that? Like, listen, whatever you do, make sure you always use condoms for everything.
Yeah, but not for head.
But for head, though.
Nobody's ever given us that meant head.
No, right?
Right. At all. Like, you put the condom on after that. Like, okay, I'm nice and ready now. Let's go.
That's what I'm saying.
Depending on the situation, sometimes you put two of them damn condoms.
So neither of you have ever tried it?
What you mean?
To get your dick sucked with a condom on.
I'm not going to say it never tried it. It's happened before.
I want to know how does it feel?
You don't prefer that.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? It just feels like. Yeah.
I mean, if you use one of those, like, what are they called? The lambskin joints in the day? Like, you like a little bit more.
When it was years ago when I was, it was a label called Break 'Em Off Records.
Right. Whoa.
And they were trying to sign me.
Hey, we know what's going on there.
No. They were trying to sign me. Bone Crusher's label. Bone Crusher?
Yeah.
He was signed a company called Break 'Em Off Records and a guy named Dan Brown. I think I was like 18 years old. Mm-hmm. So he was trying to sign me. And this was right before I signed the Usher. So he put me in a room with like three girls. And, you know, it's just, you know, that's what they used to do. They try to get you. Yeah, send them in there back there with girls.
That's crazy.
So they one of the girls put a condom on me before she went down on me. So I remember, like, that does happen.
She was a prostitute.
She was definitely a prostitute.
I would think so.
So I definitely know what that's like. But it was just like.
How did it feel with a condom on?
It didn't feel intimate at all. Mm-hmm. It felt like. But I was a kid. So, of course, I was extremely excited.
So
but,
you came.
No, not from that. But immediately after.
And you know, you're supposed to change the condom when you go from hole to hole, too. Mm-hmm.
Hole to hole?
Hole.
Oh, to hole.
And yes,
that's.
Yeah. Yeah, hole to hole, yeah.
Hole to hole, too.
That wasn't happening as a kid. You wasn't changing the condom.
It was
just excited about going from one to the other.
Yeah. The fact that it was happening to you, you know.
Right.
And I wasn't a child star. I was just a kid that got lucky.
I'm just here.
It was like, yo, they thought I could rap. So they were like, hey, yeah, sit in the room. We're going to sign them. It's like.
Now, do you think it's easier to be married in this business, in this industry, than it is to be single?
Mm. No.
I think after you get your rocks off, ultimately, and you dip for a little bit of time, it becomes easier. But at 16, you know, 15, 16, coming in the industry, it's definitely not easy to be married. And then all the way up until you're probably into your 30s, just about you felt, and you're ready to settle down, ultimately, then it becomes easier. But before that, I mean, come on, yo, you got 20,000 women in any given arena across the country screaming your name.
And you said women because you said 15 and 16. We're talking about grown women probably too.
Yes. And also you have to understand that in certain aspects, men mature way slower than women.
Right. Way
so
slower.
Especially in not in every. Exactly. I'm not going to say.
I'm kidding.
Right. So, but. But.
He said you were saying what?
No, but in that aspect, it's slow. We're slower. So you have to understand, women also, it's new for them because the things that you require or the things that you think are natural, right? And naturally acceptable, it's hard for you to express because you think that's automatic. So it's hard for you to kind of show a man where he's flawed at in a way.
Because you should know.
No, because you feel like you should know this, right? Yeah. But a lot of things that are, I always tell people the power of success is the most incredible drug, is the most dangerous drug. Because I was telling somebody the other day, I said, I could literally be in a Rolls Royce, I'm parked at the light, I could look over at a beautiful girl and literally do this. And she's going to roll the window down and say, 305, 45, you know, so you have to understand that power, given that power and not being trained properly, not being mature enough to understand how that power can get away from you, not being understanding how damaging and the long lasting effects of that power, you can really damage your early life and then draw a certain level of resentment from somebody that you truly, genuinely love that over time is very difficult to undo. And that is the curse of success at an early age, and trying to understand monogamy and consistency in any relationship, because now I'm in a position where I had all this power, I didn't know what to do with it, and now the person who I truly love and truly want to be with resents me. So now later down the line, this love that I think is equal, she's still harboring this energy, which she's human. Yeah. Even if her words say, I forgive you, even if every part of her body and mind wants to forgive you, the smallest thing will happen and she'll just curse you out. You know, it's not about that. It's about all the things you did in the past. So.
Well, for Ronnie and Shamari, let's talk about you guys for a second and your situation. It feels like Ronnie was more stressed over you than you were over him.
He was more stressed over me?
Yeah.
I mean, just period.
Yeah, just period. Like, it's because you guys talk about the open relationship, right. Yeah. Which I felt like Ronnie did not want people to know about.
Right.
Because he was like, why are you telling our business?
No, we talked about all of the things that we were going to be transparent about. Ultimately, sure. Right.
I think he was just more concerned about where it came up at. Like, we were at the Bailey Q, Cynthia, around a bunch of giggling girls. Right. And you know, it was like, why of all places are you talking about us being in an open relationship at, you know,
the round Bailey table?
Yeah.
Right. But I knew it was going to come out because before we even thought about doing the show and committed to it, it's like, yo, what do we do? How do we feel about this? And, you know, we prayed about it, and God ultimately, if it's for us, then open the door. If not, please shut the shit down. And he opened the door for us. So it was just a matter of how it was presented that I was a little challenged about, but I knew it was coming out. Like, I thought it was going to be a thing where maybe she just pulled Candy to the side and was like, yo, girl, you know, this is kind of how, you know, we did our thing before we turned the corner and ultimately got to our blessing, which is our two incredible boys. But that's all. That's really all it was.
But it feels like Shamari might have been more like you were nervous that she might have wanted to be with somebody else more than she was worried about you.
He said, it was a really painful time for us. And I was just like in this state of brokenness, and I just really didn't even know what I wanted. And I was unsure about our marriage. I was unsure about a whole lot of things. So that was just the way that I was able to deal with the pain. I was like, hey, you know, let's have an open relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, let's try something different. And ultimately, it was the openness and separation that brought us closer together at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Do y'all think that, like, when people go through those type of adversities as a couple, do you feel like after everything works out, is it that much more stronger, or is it still like this heavy band-aiding you gotta do?
Because like I'm
very curious to know, like, how our relationships, how do they work out after the most tumultuous times? Is it still uncomfortable? Because on paper, when we look at it on TV and we see everybody who we admire break up and go through these things and come back together, or sometimes the breakup is behind the scenes, but sometimes they go through things, they get back together. Is it that much stronger, or is it?
It is stronger now, but it takes time to get to that place. Definitely. It took, y'all talked about, you know, Reek being the therapist right now.
We had to go and seek a therapist. We had marriage counselors for 6 months, like 4 hours a week. Like, it was going to school and doing your homework.
You know what I said? I tweeted something the other day on Instagram. I posted, I said, I think that in the beginning of relationships, couples, when they know they're going to be serious, I think they should see a therapist.
That's what happened. Like, we went to premarital counseling, right?
No,
we went
to probably about marital, five or right?
six. It was pre, right?
But I'm saying
Relationship.
I'm talking about, I believe.
It didn't? It was like maybe three sessions. And you go through, you complete like a book of like they just 30 kinda, pages.
Is there a way of, it's like, I think that the clergy have to do that before they marry you.
It's too generic. Yeah. I don't know.
It's just, it's a matter of fact. But I think it's almost like a formality.
Yeah.
So what I believe is that, and I posted this and I saw a lot of people, obviously mostly women, who shared my, you know, my view. But I believe that, all right, if I say I like you, and you like me, you have to understand that in the beginning, you're not meeting me. You're meeting my representative. You're meeting the person who I potentially can be.
Right.
Right. I don't think it's a fake thing where I'm faking, but I'm going to be my best self for you because I'm trying to impress this woman who I'm attracted to. Right. I think in the beginning, we should be able to say, let's sit down with somebody. This is going to be serious. We're going to see each other. We're going to be serious. I want to be strictly with you. You want to be strictly.
Yeah, because that's a little creepy.
No. I'm saying when I, not a month or two, but I'm saying when you're deciding that we're going to be a couple.
Well, how long was it for you guys?
Oh my goodness. I knew that he was the one for me from the very beginning, but like it took him like 3 years to finally want to say, okay, I'll be your boyfriend. Like, and he was in his 30s, and I figured like he got all of that little, you know, childhood, just having sex with everybody thing.
But remember,
out,
we mature slowly.
How did that make you feel? And you stay around? Was you still doing your thing?
Now, said you were married when you guys met. Is that true? I saw a story.
I got married when I was 19. Mm-hmm. I did. Yeah, I got married very young, but we were only together for like 6 months.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
What happened with that?
He wanted lunch money, and I wasn't ready to raise no children. Oh, no. Right, see?
We just talked about that.
Right.
Yeah, this is when Black was popping.
And I met Shamari when she turned 21, after the fact.
Right, so, it was way...
Media Takeout, yo, it's like they are the biggest Ronnie and Shamari haters out there.
Oh,
like, even before Real Housewives and some of the stuff that put us on the platform that we're on today, they were throwing jabs like ever since probably.
You think it's somebody that worked there or somebody...
Yeah, like,
that
I must have pissed somebody off over there back in the day.
You ain't call somebody back.
Right.
You ain't get them the autograph and they was waiting in the rain.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, like, that's fucked up.
You know, I thought about actually suing to a certain extent, but I guess
no. It's not even worth it.
Not even worth it.
They wasn't rooting for the clovers.
Have something to say, whatever.
Right. They was rooting for the clovers. Right.
They wasn't rooting for the clovers, so they were.
But she, so Shamari knew from day one. She says, right,
right.
And
explain
me,
how this happened. I want to know where y'all was at. How you knew? Like, how did this whole meeting?
Well, we met each other in Los Angeles
on March 10th, 2001.
Oh, she knew
in Los Angeles at the Janet Jackson Icon Awards
after party.
After party.
She went to the awards. I went to the after party.
Right, because you didn't get a ticket to the awards.
I didn't want a ticket to the awards.
That's not true. Carpet. You know, we was at the prime. You know, hair and all of that.
Yeah.
So she was lit.
She was lit. Right. Me and Bob are outside, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. We're
how
making our way
outside?
In.
No, huh? There was in.
Okay.
Oh, you was outside of the concert?
No. Outside of the after party.
Yeah, yeah, they was deciding if they wanted to go in. It wasn't like they was
they
outside. They could have went if they wanted.
Let out.
So wait, who approached who?
Man, we got two different stories.
You met her on the way in the party.
It was inside the club, you're saying?
Yes,
you were in the club. I vividly remember.
Boy, we have
two different
recollections.
I remember because I was high and drunk.
Remember that episode of Martin with Gina and Martin?
I was more high than drunk.
This
but
is
she me. Still remembers. Through the haze.
I was holding on to the back of my...
Natina, what you were holding... Natina was in front of you. You were holding Natina's hand. Y'all were walking inside. Me and Bob was on the outside getting ready to go in, right? Mm-hmm. I see Shamari. Wow. I grab her hand, so right?
You just grabbed her hand?
No, I mean, not grab, but you know.
I mean, it's her hand.
We was inside the club. He grabbed my hand and I just kept walking and I just let the hand go.
She turned you.
Right.
She said, don't touch me.
Right. Just leave me alone. Yes, I did.
See, I grabbed her hand. This is how I remember it. I grabbed her hand.
Leave me alone.
She looked back at me, gave me a little winky wink smile.
You winked at
him? Kept it moving.
No, I never winked at anybody in my life.
I believe you, bro.
I don't know how to wink.
No, you believe him because whatever.
You know, we met outside and then boom, we're inside the club. And
you probably was trying to be trying to be mean to him, but it just didn't
she
work.
Yeah. I didn't care. I was never the top. I
I wasn't even checking for him.
She like, I was night. Always yeah, popping. Let's be clear.
She had sun in her eye.
Yeah, she wasn't.
And then outside after the club, mm-hmm. remember the two ways back in the day?
Mm-hmm. So he beamed me.
Yeah, he
okay.
beamed the contact.
Mm-hmm. He beamed you.
He beamed me. He was like, yo, can I take you to lunch or something tomorrow?
Oh, you know? Oh,
quick. Like, move
right,
fast.
Right. Yeah. Lunch.
Right.
So the next day, you know, we went to lunch.
Where'd y'all go to lunch? Mm-hmm.
At the hotel.
Sweet story.
Oh, really?
Actually, no, I went to lunch. How about that?
Hey.
The next morning, I woke up like, will I see you again?
I looked that back at it and was like, hell yeah.
All right, so keep it real, Shamari. Did you grow up like looking at New Edition like, he's cute?
No, I did not. I grew up looking at The Boys and ABC.
The Boys. Right. Down my heart.
Yes, down my heart.
Down my
I thought
heart.
That Taj was my man back in the day. I love me The Boys. No, see, New Edition is like before my time. Like, he was born 2 decades before me.
Damn.
The 60s, and I was born in the 60s.
I met her when she was 21, though. Let's get that straight real quick.
All the way. Well, these documentaries, we don't want no issues.
Right, with all the shit going on in America, with your man and your man and your and don't nobody need to escape me. Ain't nothing in my past, you know. Escaping Ronnie.
What y'all talking about?
No. We said it's gonna be Escaping Ronnie documentary.
Oh,
if it was anywhere before 21,
I met her when she was 15. What took you so long, Ronnie? What took you so long?
Okay, so we met March 10th, 2001. Mm-hmm. I ended up moving to Atlanta in November of 2001. Right? Living in Los Angeles for the second half of my life, like from Boston from start to 16, 17. Moved to LA, you know, felt like I hit a glass ceiling. I need a little fresh start, you know, something new and different. Moved mm-hmm. to Atlanta in November. And come on, Atlanta is the black Mecca, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a single cat.
Right.
I'm not settling down for at least the first 6 months.
And
of
you knew
being
I was
Atlanta.
In Atlanta already.
Yes, I knew she was in Atlanta.
So, you know, I had something to do with
right.
it, right?
Right. But hell yeah, you had something to do. Mm-hmm. But I was still pumping the brakes. I've always been the kind of cat, like, and I've been around people that will tell a woman anything to get the draws,
yeah.
right? But I'm not going to tell you I love you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you nothing without really ultimately being honest. Like,
okay.
And if you ready to give me the yeah, I mean, then let's rock.
Yeah.
Right? So moved to Atlanta, you know, she felt like, you know, I'm the one. Every now and then she's throwing a jab and I'm just fighting her. Like, I'm kicking and screaming like, no, not yet. And fast forward, about 2 years, 2.5 years, something like that, she just gave me the ultimatum.
Damn.
Like, look, man, you are the one for me. And I can't continue to play house. Like, even though we were together damn near all the time,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but she doing her thing, I'm doing my thing. And I just felt like until I'm ready to commit, I'm not going to commit to you. I'm not going to tell you, yo, it's all good when I know I'm rocking, you
right.
know, rolling over here.
That. So honest.
You know, she hit me one day and was like, look, like, I'm out of here because I can't continue to do this play house thing when I know you
ultimatums
want to be with
me. Do
yeah,
work, huh?
Right?
Yeah,
so,
they did in this situation.
So, right, she hit me right before she went to Germany on a trip with Black, right?
That's
so,
right.
I'm sitting there like,
Ich liebe dich.
Right? I'm sitting there like, damn, you know, just reflecting on everything that we had gone through in the 2.5 years prior and, you know, the roller coaster ride that I had been on as far as the music industry is concerned. You know, you making paper at one point, mm-hmm. you're not making paper, mm-hmm. you're trying to figure out how to pay the bills. At times, you know, Shamari would help me, you know, with flights and different shit like that. So I'm like, okay.
I was there when you had that 1983 Benz, baby.
It
back
was
in 2001.
And it wasn't
83.
The 93.
Come on, man. She keeps taking me back decades.
Damn.
But then,
they
you
got
know,
you, Ronnie.
Right, I just had to reflect, man. And I felt like, you know, for being in this industry where people can get caught up in the materialism of it all, like the glamour, you know, pulling up in the Rolls Royce and like, yo, call me or whatever. She was with me when I was in the 83 Benz and, you know, I needed some money
93,
for a flight.
Bro. 93,
you know,
Benz.
83.
You know, money for a flight. And then, you know, I always knew, like, she was beautiful. She's intelligent. Mm-hmm. She's witty. She's smart.
She
and all these
sing.
Different things. Yeah,
yeah,
she, man, she has one of the most beautiful voices that I've ever heard in my life, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's like, that has to be rewarded. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I called her, like, we had a conversation. She's in Germany, and I don't know what I said.
Oh, I was just like, so
are we together? Mm-hmm. And you was like, I mean, you know, we together.
And that's how I knew, okay,
like,
yeah.
We together,
right,
together.
Right, 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 right.
Yeah, I'm like, at least he said, yeah, you know, I mean, we together. That's the first step right there. Because before, he wasn't even saying any of that.
But y'all were together all the time.
Yeah.
Support for today's show comes from Zola. Zola is reinventing the wedding planning and registry experience to make the happiest moment in couples' lives even happier, combining compassionate customer service with modern tools and technology, all in the service of love. Zola is the easiest way to plan your wedding and register with free wedding websites, your dream wedding registry, affordable save the dates and invitations, and easy to use planning tools. Start with a free wedding website. It takes just minutes to set up, and you can choose from over 100 beautiful designs that fit any style and every type of wedding. Put your Zola registry on your wedding website so guests can get all the details they need and buy your wedding gift in one convenient place. The Zola store has the widest selection of gifts at all different price points from over 500 brands. There's something for every guest to give. You know I'm all about doing things the easy way, and it's already hard enough for my boyfriend to talk me into getting married, so anything I can do to make that decision even easier is right up my alley. To start your free wedding website and also get $50 off your registry on Zola, go to Zola.com/Angela. That's Zola.com/Angela and get $50 off your registry today.
What was the breaking point for your ultimatum? Like, what made you just be like, all right, listen, fuck it. It's been too...
Right. Because we were doing everything like we were really together. Like, we were going on trips. We were together every day. Like, it was like I was his woman. Mm-hmm. So why aren't you committed to me? Mm-hmm. You know? So that was when I was like, look, I can't keep doing this because my heart is just getting so deeply involved with you.
And he's always got the out.
Yeah.
I never said we was together.
Right, right. Exactly. So.
I didn't like
this. You know, I value that so much. The fact that we come from a time where relationships was about I like you and you like me. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not the thing no more. It's like.
You send a little note if you want to be
with
me.
Will you go with me?
Yes.
It was like, but it was just about like, I like you. That's it. I like you. Everything else is second. Now it's like my bills is $2,800 a month. If a man, I don't got time for what you doing text.
Right.
It's like, no, but how are you going to get to know somebody? And I like the era of, I'm 36 years old. So I grew up in a time where it was like, you would hear girls say, oh, he's cute. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, it don't even matter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He got a bag.
He does it.
I'm going. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you meet a girl and you just say, I'm going here tomorrow. You want to go? I'm going to be in LA tomorrow. You want to go? Yep. I'm going. What? Back in our era?
Right.
I don't know you. I'm not getting on a plane to come see you.
My mother got to meet you.
Now it's just like, so it's cool to see people say, for him to say, I have money for a flight and she got me a flight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's some real
was
shit
it first
because.
Class?
No, hell no.
Hell no.
Middle seat in a window at like.
Yeah, I get you.
Definitely a window seat.
Great time.
But that's cool. I think that's
the bulkhead seat at least.
No spirit action.
I like that.
I think it was American Airlines.
Okay.
I've been blessed and fortunate enough. I've never had any relationships in my entire life with people who I didn't feel like genuinely cared about me.
That's cool.
And that's a blessing because I see it so many times. I've encountered many people who intentions weren't pure, but I've never been in a situation I'm fortunate enough to say I can't look back on any relationships. And I haven't been in many relationships in my life, but I can't look back on my few relationships and say, oh, shorty was about my money, or this was about because she saw I was about to blow up, or she, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that's rare. A lot of guys can't say that in this era.
Right. Is that the first time someone's ever done something like that for you, Ronnie? Like bought you a flight and took care of you? Because that means a lot to a guy. A lot of times.
He light skinned, bro. They always get that type of shit. He had to think about it. My black ass be like, no. Yeah. I know black ass, you better get you. You better
get on the boat.
Need a flight boy.
I mean, you know, I can't front. I've had situations where people are, I guess they're trying to show, you know, what it is. Right.
I don't care about what you are, who you are.
Like, look, let me buy you this just to let you know that it's not about just you.
That's the setup.
Who you are.
Like, what kind of stuff was you getting?
I mean, yeah.
Let me hear what you get.
That little watchy poo.
Did you get rid of all that stuff? Like,
was they around you when you had the 83 Benz?
No.
No.
Exactly.
Now, let's talk about marriage, okay?
Right.
How did you guys know that it was time to get married? Let's start with you, Rigo. For you, what made you decide?
It wasn't a decision for me like that. It was just a compromise. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, to be honest, I felt like I was at a low point in my life financially. So I couldn't offer her anything else. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like that was my way of showing how much I appreciated and loved her. I didn't believe in necessarily in marriage, but let me do this for you to show you, like, I can't give you anything right now. And I'm not in a place where I was at. We all in this industry, in this business, go through those times, those low periods. And that happened. So I just feel like the least I can do is this. So it wasn't a beautiful, like, I'm a propose and I really, you know, I was against marriage.
Was it thought out?
No, not at all. It was like literally the next day. It was supposed to be just at the house, just friends, end up being like a bunch of family and friends. But it wasn't something that I was like, you know, I never in my life envisioned myself.
So you didn't have a ring or nothing?
I had it. No, but it was a situation where I believe when you love somebody and you really care about them, you compromise. Mm-hmm. And I think that that compromise should be recognized. I think that a lot of people may listen to that and say, oh, that's the wrong reasons to marry a person. And I can respect your point of view. But I also believe that when you care about somebody enough, you're going to compromise so that if you know something going to make them happy, you do it because it makes them happy.
So you knew that she wanted to get married.
Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of times, as women get older, a lot of times, they're not trying to say everybody's situation, the pressure is on by strangers. Mm. You know, people you don't even know, because of social media, a stranger will try to make you feel like, girl, if you don't got no ring on your finger, that shit don't mean nothing. It's like,
it could be the pressure that you have for yourself. Because in your mind, it could have been, oh, by this age, I thought I would be married by now. And it's just that it doesn't necessarily always have to be
that. I believe that sacrifice counts for something, though. I think that's like, a lot of people may look at it and be like, I don't want somebody just do it just because they have to. No, I think that was the level of love that I share and respect I have for her to say, I can't do anything for you right now. I'm being sued by 100 people. I got this going on. I got these. So what I want to do to show you that I'll compromise something that I may not necessarily want to do because it'll make you happy. And I thought that's a testament of love. And I think a lot of people, if you look at it from that perspective, you may agree. But obviously, you know, people have their own perspective and their own. And that's just the truth. And
honestly, it is a contract. So did you say we need a prenup?
Nope. But like I said, I never dealt. But this, I would never worry about anything like that. She never ever was about no money with me. Mm-hmm. She never was about you got to do this. You got to be this. Mm-hmm. Our differences were based upon the mistakes and errors I made. It wasn't about our issues. I have nothing to do with her being a horrible. It's all about the decisions I made.
Like, so, what kind of decisions?
Yeah, but just, you know, being young and wild and getting money and cheating and going crazy like that, or not being including her in the things that I should have been including her in.
Is there a difference between cheating and disrespectfully cheating?
So I think that what happens is, and it's definitely
you bringing somebody to the crib and you rocking in the same bed.
Yeah, that's disgusting. Exactly. That's disgusting. That's no, but never. I don't want to say that I was ever on that level.
Different matches covered down.
I would never.
The
I don't.
Same damn bed.
When I had to set your bed on fire.
At least use the guest bedroom.
Listen.
I think it's a cycle.
When it comes to the crib,
I think it becomes a cycle, right? I think the cycle begins with you did something wrong. You're trying to correct this error, but then as we deal with people, their energy and attitude towards you is still paying you back for the wrong that you did. So now when they give you this certain negative energy, you feel like, all right, well, I'm gonna go do this again. And now you keep doing it, and now their energy doesn't change, and then your reaction to their energy does not change. It takes for somebody to either say, I need to step back and separate myself from the situation, or I need to figure out a way to react to this in a way that's going to be productive. If I keep reacting to your bitterness and your anger with my actions that made you bitter and angry, like, in the first place, is a never-ending cycle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what you have to decide as a person, whether you're going to be with that person or not, what you have to decide as a person is, I'm not going to treat you how I'm not going to retaliate to you with my actions. What I'm going to do is I'm going to respond to you out of love. Mm-hmm. And I've decided that I'm only going to respond to everybody out of love.
I choose love.
And that's real, because what happens is I started realizing that if I want to be right all the time, because there are situations, scenarios where I know that I'm right. Mm-hmm. But I have to understand that being right ain't always right. And sometimes you got to say, no matter what I say, you're angry.
Right.
So let me step back and figure out a way to get you unangry. So now that you're not angry, we can have a real conversation. Because when somebody's upset,
oh, I can't talk when I'm upset. Yeah, exactly. I already know that.
But that's the thing. Everybody wants to talk when they're upset.
Not me. Like when we get into it, like she wants to fix it right away.
Yeah,
like,
I need a moment.
You can get heated, and I'm like, yo, I just need a minute.
What's your sign?
Right.
He's a Scorpio.
I may. I just need a minute, but
which explains the den on the first day.
Like, yo, hold up. But you I'll like to do the other room, and she'll follow me.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, we're gonna fix it right now. Don't go to bed, mad.
Slam a door, and she's knocking on the fucking door, like, yo,
breaking the window.
But this is the thing.
It's so important to know how to argue effectively, because I know when I'm in the middle of argument, I can't talk to you at that time because I don't want to say anything.
I'm the same way. Right.
Yeah, I need time.
One thing I've
you
never
preach
done.
Active listening all the time.
No, I understand that, but there's a time.
You need the space sometimes.
And that's one of the things that helped us even in our marriage counseling and our marriage coaching. And we say this all the time, is that active listening. Like before we understood how to do that, it's okay, you're sitting waiting to fire back. I'm not even hearing what the hell you're saying. There's a wall up. Mm-hmm. As soon as I find an opportunity to come with my perspective about this argument, I'm coming.
That's it.
Right? But we learned how to active listen to each other, which is when you're saying something, I have to repeat what it is that you just said to me.
So and then I
if
I
don't get
I
everything, then you're going to tell me what it is that I missed out
what
on. And
missed.
Then I'm going to repeat that.
That's
and
fair.
That was so helpful for us in our relationship. Because now you got to come off of your perspective and actually sit there and figure out where the other person is.
I do that.
Right.
I'll say, are you following me? Is this making sense to you? Because I can repeat it.
See,
if you need me to repeat it.
Yeah, she's going to break your windshield.
I'm not going to lie, because I'm going to tell you why. Even with him saying it right then, it made me cringe. Because it would make me feel like you're talking down to me or you're talking to me like a child. Like, do you follow me?
No, if your actions.
L'Oreal is below the belt in an argument.
Oh, I would. You have to say, can you repeat to me what I just said? Right. See? That's
the way you say things. Because now when you say that, I don't feel, I feel like the way, I would have felt like I was being talked to like a child.
But that's the difference. That's the difference. So now my perspective is operate out of love. So if you operate out of love, even though that thing makes you feel like you're talking like a child, which out of love you would say, when you say that, in that way, it make me feel like you're talking to me like a child.
That's not what I would have said. I was like, don't talk to me like no motherfucking child.
She would have burned your clothes.
But if a person says that to me, like, I take offense to how you're speaking to me like that.
Right.
Then I'm going to have to correct it. Now, if I don't correct it, if I continue to do that to you and I don't correct how you ask me, you specifically said this makes me uncomfortable. If I don't respond to that with love, then now I'm being petty.
Okay,
now
let me ask y'all a question, because me and L'Oreal got into it earlier over this, okay?
Mm-hmm. Wait, what?
Right. Hold on, what you about to say?
No, let's just say, we were discussing this. Now, Shamari, this is really for you.
I love this.
So, if you found a lipstick in your man's car, and it's different because you guys are married, but he tells you, okay, it's my sister's or it's my mom's lipstick, do you believe him or not?
I believe him.
Thank you. That's what
I believe him, because we built that trust over the years. Mm-hmm. Like, so I'm going to believe him. If it was, you know, in a new situation.
That's what I'm saying. A new situation
where you don't really know the person, you haven't built that trust and that communication and all that, then I don't know if I would.
I'm going to say this. I can, because I don't have no problem accepting accountability, so we should all know this about me. So there have been situations where I've been very truthful, but because I lied in the past, because I did things in the past, it kind of like eliminates. That's why I think forgiveness, true forgiveness, honest forgiveness is important, because I've been accused of things that I'm seriously didn't do.
Right.
And there's it's no way. It's just so much. But I just think there's no way.
Getting his thing sucked with a condom on. Right.
This tastes like rubber. Somebody took your dick with a condom.
Your dick is ashy, nigga. What's going on? You was using them old lambskins. Ronnie gave you them old lambskins.
Lambskins. Yo, you've been gone from the house for 13 hours. Why your shit smell like Irish Spring?
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Why your mouth smell like ass?
Exactly. food and your mouth like fish. It
smells like fish. I'm like, yo, who you been dipping in?
Why your belt smell like ass? That's hilarious. No, but I just think that
you've been at the strip club and your belt smell like ass, boy.
Been at Tootsie's too long.
Why you gotta say
you want a massage? You want a massage? You good? You don't want a massage? Oh, so you already got your massage.
You got a massage, huh?
Nah, but I just think that
this glitter
when you do so much, it is difficult to build that trust back, especially when somebody not honest about how they feel. See, I'm a communicator. So communicating, I enjoy it because I love to learn and find out what can, you know, I want to be a better person in all levels and aspects of my life. But it's difficult because so many people don't know how to communicate, especially people from our community. So it's difficult when you want to communicate and you're really trying to, you're like, I don't have all the answers, but this is how I feel. But
that's
if I'm telling you that,
though, like even early on in relationships, when you say, you know, the lipstick thing, and then the man says, "Yo, that's from my sister," and it's really from my sister, but you getting it, you know, you it just keeps coming up, you know, days later, like, "Yo, I don't believe what the hell is going on." It just makes you feel like, damn,
I feel like I got
to. I might as well do what I'm gonna do
because this ain't coming out right.
This is.
I'm gonna tell y'all what happened. No, I'm gonna tell y'all the whole story because she ain't even explain it right. All right, so the first time I got in the car, I seen the lipstick, and I was like, "Okay, somebody got their little lipstick." Here, trying to
what color,
you know,
what
I
shade
say
was it?
Stuff
was it
like
a good
that.
Brand?
It was Mac.
Okay,
but I say stuff like that. I don't just be like, oh, this bitch lipstick. Da-da-da. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, somebody marking their territory. So he like, what? What are you talking? Oh no, that got to be my sister's. Whatever. I'll never sit over there, so I don't even know what's over there.
Right.
Okay, cool. Skip that. I ain't bring it up again. Nothing.
Right.
So that now. A day passed, 2 days, my friend in the car. Now we talking and she say something about lipstick. I was like, oh, it's probably something inside of the door on it, like a joke. Right. But that's what I do. Like, I mean, I do that on the show. I do. That's just me. And you know, my personality, I'm like that.
Right.
So,
later that night, he was like, suck his dick with a condom.
Trust you.
So then he goes, no, what do you mean? He was like, no, I told you like, my ex-girlfriend, she probably just left it of it.
Oh, no.
But fam, it was just sister. But
you didn't tell me all that.
I don't have to tell you all that. All I did was ask her, how would you feel? Like, but this is what I'm saying. I listened to you the first time. You was like, oh, it's probably. He didn't say it is, but he said probably my sister's. So I ain't think nothing of it. I don't really know you like that. This is new.
Right.
Like, so that's cool.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So then now the next time you say that, now you're a liar. And I'm going to tell you why you're a liar. Because if you would have been like, well, I don't know whose it is, it's probably, it could be anybody's.
Right.
I would have took that a little better than you specifically saying, now it's the ex-girlfriend's bro. It's just, who is it? What's going on?
Maybe he was dating his sister.
Maybe he was. You never know. Nowadays. Might be R. Kelly got molested by John.
Oh,
like,
my
I don't
God,
know.
God, don't do that.
I don't know. Sister, brother shit.
Yeah, when he went specific the second time around, that feels
that's
a little fishy right there.
You get what I'm saying? So that's why I said that. Like, I wasn't about to just let that kind of slide and let that go. Now I look at you funny. Because, like, you're like a low key, you're a little liar. So now I got to watch you. If you lie about
you
something
say
small,
maybe.
It's maybe everybody's at this
I don't know
fucking
who's
point.
It is.
Maybe it's his.
Could be Saturday nights.
Okay.
Today's show is also brought to you by Smilf. This podcast is brought to you by Showtime and the acclaimed comedy series Smilf. Bridget Bird is a 20-something single mom from South Boston doing her best to juggle life, work, and relationships, all while staying true to herself and creating a better life for her son, Larry. Starring Frankie Shaw, Rosie O'Donnell, and Connie Britton. Don't miss the return of Smilf. New episodes every Sunday only on Showtime.
Now, let me ask y'all this. Since you guys were very open about your open relationship, what are the rules that you guys set? I know you said, for Shamari, you could only date other women.
Yeah, it wasn't going down. I didn't want another man. I had, you know, the dick that I needed right here at home.
Yeah, man.
She called you a dick.
No,
I'm joking.
You're a dick.
I got the dick that I needed.
Yeah, right there.
So,
the dick's not here. The dick's down here. No. For sure.
We got together when I was 21, so there was a lot of things that I wanted to experience that I didn't experience, and it was at a time where I was not in a very good place, and I was like, okay, well, let's go into an open relationship, and I know you're not going to do it unless I say, you're not going to allow me to sleep with other women unless I say you can sleep with women yourself.
Was he cheating already?
Mm-hmm. Were you cheating?
No cheating.
Sorry, I'm just asking.
No cheating. I mean, it came out of the blue. Honestly, we were actually working on our music around the time, and it just kind of came out of nowhere. And I know she was in a place.
I was in a state of brokenness.
I remember this after the fact. Like, even while we were working on our music, I was kind of laser focused, feeling like, yo, finally we're going to be able to do something that is different. You know, there's that balance that the music industry needs, and we can talk about love and relationship when now it's all about sex and drugs.
Yeah,
and
it was just a build up.
Things, right? And she felt and like I wasn't really
he
listening.
He wasn't listening to me. Like, to I had opinions, and he was just like, no, we're going to do it this way. Right. And I'm like, we need to get a manager because we neither one of us have time to manage our career. You don't have time. And he just wasn't listening to me. And it just, I just kept feeling like I was just getting broken down and broken down more. So I was in a state of brokenness.
Yeah.
And I started, when you're in a state, like, you start making self-centered choices when you're in that state. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really including my husband in the decisions that I was making. We weren't making them as one.
Right.
And that was just the way that I dealt with the pain at the time. And it was actually that separation and the openness that brung us closer together. Mm-hmm. We had to go through that in order to get where we are today. Yeah. You know, this was our journey. This was our path that we went through. And, you know, no marriages are like, everybody's going to go through there. You guys aren't married. Right.
No, never been.
But like, marriage is like fingerprints. Like, no marriage is exactly alike.
Like, so, snowflakes.
Yes. So like, that was our journey. That was our path. And that path brought us into purpose, ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's wild because when it started, you know, it was almost like I was going to be included to a certain extent in what was going down.
Rico,
like, okay,
I made it sound real spicy at first. Yeah. Like, yeah, if you know you let me sleep with women, then you know we might be able to have a little threesome.
Right now,
yeah. He was like, oh, okay.
What the hell is going on here?
Who's not turning that down?
You know, she's going to Cabo without you.
Right. I'm going to Vegas and I'm at a damn Delano and the beach and shit.
Right, then I'm gonna go on ahead and make my thing happen. And
it was totally separate. It just turned into this total, like, two separate, like a totally separate relationship away from.
Did you guys ever do the threesome?
No, we never did the threesome.
Really?
Not even. Like,
she went over there and fell in love to a certain extent.
I didn't fall in love. I knew that I was never gonna leave you, Ron. You were always my husband. I made the vows with you
until a little down the road.
Come on, man. Don't.
It felt like you guys felt like the marriage was almost going to end, though, over this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we sat at the little bar in our townhouse, right?
And no, we had a real house. Don't talk about no townhouse.
Mm-hmm. It was the townhouse.
It got the word house in it.
Yeah, it was the townhouse.
No, it was a single family home.
Townhouse.
It was in the townhouse, right? And, yo, we actually were right there, word on word, you know, at the computer trying to figure out how we were going to separate everything. Like, I'm talking about divorce was imminent. Like,
what brought it to that point?
Just everything. Like, okay, we opened it up. And for me, okay,
it was
open
amicable.
Relationship. As a man, open relationship? Oh, okay. I say this all the time. You think what Eddie Murphy said in his little comedy special, yo, same old saltine crackers after a certain amount of time, right? And they say after about 7 years, you start kind of getting the itch to do a little something. And it was right around that same time, 7 years in.
Don't be bringing that itch.
And so wifey comes and she's like, yo, let's have the open thing. Maybe we can do a threesome, you know, boom, you can handle your business. And I'm thinking as a man, like, shit, okay, this might be good.
Right. Good for everyone.
Right? So she's over there, I'm over here, and ultimately jealousy, you know, and envy and all these different things begin to creep in. And you don't know that at the time. You just thinking with your dick, ultimately, you know, like, yo, okay, I can get some different pussy, but at the same time, I can rock with my wife. But you come home and wifey ain't there. And it's like, okay, shit, well, what the hell is wifey doing? And I don't know what she was thinking. I'm sure at some point, it's the same thing. She's at home and hubby's out. Like, damn, what the hell is my husband doing? Like, who is he with? And that was the thing that separated us. And she had an apartment. You know, I had a place myself.
Damn, you guys had your own places on the side?
Yeah. I I mean, it went
it's
down.
Tough,
like,
and it's even painful to talk about. Yeah, you know, yeah, to I mean, live that.
So what happens to the other people that were in the relationship? Did you have to be like, look, I'm working it out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you still, are you allowed to still like speak?
No, totally blocked, cut off. Yeah. You can't even talk to these people. If you're working, when we started working on our relationship, we had to cut all of that off. That's the only way to do it.
Did anybody go crazy, like start doing weird shit or trying to break y'all up?
Shamar's like,
yeah,
yes.
I mean, kind of, sort of, but you know, not no psycho like type shit.
But it wouldn't go away. Like,
you gotta call your sister who left the lipstick and have a
right.
Well, Rico, when you have threesomes, right, who do you choose? Is it people that you know, or is it like random people that y'all pick up together?
Yeah, I thought, I mean, back when I was, you know, doing all that, we haven't done that, but it's like, I think that it was always somebody, a friend, somebody you know.
You're talking about threesomes
with his wife?
With your wife? You do threesomes with your wife?
Used to.
Oh, used to.
Yeah. So you
it's somebody you guys both knew and were friends with.
You always let her pick the girl. I think that's fair.
That's the rule.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because now you're not trying to make it seem like.
Can we go to the strip club? I'd be like, I want like, her.
Big booty. He's like, I don't like her.
It'll be the type of thing where it's like, oh, you was feeling shorty already, and you was, you know.
That's that's typical, I think.
Yeah, so keep it. I think there's been times where, you know, you could bring a girl, but most times let the girl pick the girl.
She's more comfortable with it.
Yeah, because you're going to think like, nah, you already been plotting on this girl. Y'all been talking. Mm-hmm. This ain't nothing that you just came up with and picked that girl right there.
Yeah, exactly.
You got a relationship with her. So I think you should
save yourself the issues, bro. Mm-hmm. Just, it ain't worth it.
You think sex gets better the more you know each other, like the longer you're in a relationship, or you think the beginning was better?
The longer. Mm. For sure. You don't really know what each other likes to, you know, to be satisfied in the very beginning. And you just start learning. Like, sometimes you even have to teach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What you had to teach Ronnie?
It's not even
the way she said the word teach, she said
teach. I don't think
that's
sometimes. I think you should always teach somebody how you want to feel. That's just,
you know, how
that's natural.
How to lick that clit the right way.
Ronnie probably wasn't even doing that.
Sometimes you gotta go lower, sometimes you gotta go faster, sometimes you gotta hit that shit from the side.
Yeah, I think
sometimes you gotta open the curtains.
The G spot could be up and you don't know that. You going down thinking you rocking it.
Like,
yo, you are not rocking.
A little bit more.
Right.
I think
that's my belly button.
In all things, you got to teach. Every situation, you should teach people how you want to be treated. Every
is there a wrong way to suck dick ever?
Yes. Right?
There is.
It's a boring way to do.
What's a wrong way? Like, teeth.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, besides the obvious.
Yeah.
But, like, what else besides teeth? And dryness.
Besides
teeth and
dryness. Sometimes people could just be extra rough with it, or, you know, like, just whatever. Yeah. You know, it's just all a preference ultimately. But there's a wrong way and a right way to do everything. Like, some people love to be smacked in the room. Like, come on. You know, like, how would you know that unless you're willing, unless the person says, look, you're not giving it to me hard enough. Like, you got to smack me in the damn face.
Do you ever try stuff and then... Right. Just to see, like, let me just smack her and see if she likes
it. Oh, no. I'm not going to do something like that unless
I'm being told that
I need to smack a person, then I'm questioning whether or not I need to be in the room with
it. But I think a fantasy plays a part in what you would experiment with. It's all about what you, like, if you've been imagining this, or you saw this in a porno or something like that, and then that kind of made you feel a way.
Porno's so unrealistic, though. I feel like we watch porn to see shit we wouldn't do.
But that starts, but that's what would make you try something, is that you imagining that, you know what I mean? I think you imagine that, you saw that, and you got a reaction, your body reacted to it. You're like, oh, let me try this out. I think I might be into that.
Like, what's something you tried that your partner was like, no?
I think everybody always tries to, you know, take it to the booty.
The backyard. You tried that, Shamari?
I don't like it. No. No.
It's just no tongue or nothing in your butt?
Yeah, we might have tossed the salad a few times.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
Right. Okay. We ain't tossed no salad.
What about if
we ain't tossed no salad in like 12 years?
Let's get the dressings.
I don't know about tossing the salad anymore, you know. Go take a shower first.
Right, exactly.
No, you ain't gonna come off stage.
Before you toss that salad, like, take look, there's no way.
Actually,
you might need to take a shit before I toss that salad.
No, that's a terrible time to take a shit.
No, take a shit.
Right, because then you have the residue.
Yeah, a little E. coli.
Okay,
take a shit and take
y'all
a shower.
Just made it so
I don't need no shit juice coming out of there. That's all I'm saying.
No tossing salad.
Like, what
no
is this? Chocolate?
But you experimented
no
with it.
No sticking it in the booty. Okay. None of that. Don't want nothing going up. I want it only coming out. So that's
oh
it.
Oh, my God.
Rico's like, I do all that shit.
Oh, you do all that? Oh,
well, me, yeah.
Come on. We've done it.
You, she's like, yeah, with like, yes, my guy. Oh, like, yeah. You know, you can't just go around just doing that shit to everybody.
Right, right. She, like, spit dripping out her ass. Like, she said...
Okay. She's dragging.
She like to be laying
how
in
she
the
know?
Spot.
Don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
If you have to, like,
yo, my man, y'all
it's my spot.
Face,
but he's like, I'm disgusted.
No, he,
like,
no, he's not.
He's
disgusted.
Used to this.
No, not.
No, he's into
he's
it.
Beyond used.
What
to
about masturbating together?
Nah, I mean,
yeah. She like, I played with a clip before.
Yeah.
While you was hitting it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
That's like masturbation, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Partly. No, I mean, because he's still hitting it, so it's not.
Really feel like, I mean, I've masturbated without, you know, but.
Without Shamari there? But what about her there? You would never masturbate in front of her?
That's just you know that don't.
That might be
right
sexy,
there,
right?
but like you said, every relationship is its own fingerprint.
Right.
Yeah,
so everybody
with your fingerprints on it.
Yeah. Everybody got their own thing.
But FaceTime. What about on FaceTime, y'all silly?
Shamari, you wouldn't like for him to masturbate in front of you?
Yeah, I mean, I would like it.
Okay, there you go. Something new to try.
Even know.
We should try it.
When we get back to the
y'all can race. Like, who's going to do it?
right.
What about you, Rico? Masturbation. He's like, look, I already said I toss salad.
I'm not beyond any of it. I'm not beyond it. Mm-hmm. I think it's all have a good time, enjoy it. I've done it before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, enjoy it. Have a good time. Like, experiment. That's how you keep things fresh and alive. Mm-hmm. We make the mistake of keeping, you know, going through these.
Yeah.
You got to reinvent your relationship.
That's right.
That's fun.
What's like the last thing you were like, wow, I never, like, the last time you were like, wow, this is different?
I don't know. For me, the last time, it's been a little challenging for us because we have 17-month-olds, right?
Mm.
So
twins.
Right.
Yeah,
twins.
They're so cute.
Yeah. Mm. So we took a trip to Chicago to perform. We finally released our first single, Love Comes Through.
Yay.
And Shamari's stepmom, we did a charity thing out there. And so it was a little trip away from the boys for a couple days. So that was good money. Yeah, just being in the hotel, nothing to worry about. We performed our song, had a little 15-minute set where, you know, we did 808 and Poison, a couple other little things, and did two of our new joints. And after that night, it just was like, you know, kind of like magical.
Oh, that's
sparking,
that's
you know,
so dope.
Kindling, you know.
Especially since you shared that moment together.
Right.
And you shared that performance. So it's like, it's almost like a reward for, it's almost funny. Extra intense.
It's like tonight was a great night.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Where do y'all get your new tricks from? So like, say you're just like, oh, let me try this like new thing. Like, where you pull it out from?
Where you pull it out
from? Get it in.
No,
because you know our boys sleep in the bed with us.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, sorry.
Yeah,
our
blockers. Like,
so
it's
sorry about that.
Even if they in their damn cribs for some reason, like, you, we
know.
Got them in the crib. Ooh, shh. As soon as, you know, you boy, you pull your joints down, like, you getting it ready, and then,
Leave mommy alone.
What are you doing to our mommy?
Right.
You get off my mind.
Right.
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 We done got to the point where, okay, like, they just seem like they feel more comfortable, of course, now in the bed than they do in their crib. So, okay, they're in the bed, and then we got to be mindful because, you know, now they get up and walk around or what have you.
Right.
So they get up and walk off the damn bed or what have you. But, you know, a couple times we had to get some squeakers in on the chase that's right next to the
bed. Quickie.
Like,
no.
Hurry up.
That's all y'all got time for.
Hurry up and come. Hurry up. Before he wakes up. I think he's looking at me.
I think he's looking at me.
Because I'm traumatized.
No, she's traumatized. Like,
yeah,
she,
I got anxiety a little
bit. Shamari, she can't get it off, like, in that capacity.
Yeah,
for me,
I'm that way. I'm that way.
Then,
no, I'm that way.
I'm thinking about them, like, possibly waking up.
My daughter. No, sir. Like, if I hear her voice, it's around.
Oh, you can't.
Yeah,
hear
you're like,
if I hear hear a voice. I mean, if I hear their voices, then of course we're, you know,
it's over. If you know they over there,
yeah,
you're like,
I know they good. I'm like, yeah, feel right. Hurry it up.
It's just not the same.
Hurry it up.
This episode is also coming to you from Youth Testify, a program of the National Network of Abortion Funds and Advocates for Youth. Young people face significant barriers and stigma when trying to get an abortion. In many states, young people have to get permission from a guardian or prove to a judge that they are capable of making decisions about their own bodies. They have to schedule multiple appointments around school or work, often risking disciplinary action by schools or employers. Depending on where they live, they may need to travel long distances to get to their appointments. And often, they have to raise hundreds of dollars to pay for their procedures because the average cost of an abortion is $450. This shouldn't be reality. We need to trust young people to make decisions that will inevitably impact their bodies and futures. That's why the Youth Testify storytellers and young people around the country are sharing their own abortion stories and leading the fight to ensure all people have access to abortion care, free from barriers and stigma. Visit youthtestify.org to learn more.
How do you think this show has been for you guys, Real Housewives of Atlanta? When you look at it and you see it and you're like, ugh. Like, sometimes is it like that? Or do you feel like, okay, that represents me well?
Ew. You know, they edit it. You know, mm-hmm. like, we're not executive producers of right. the show. So, like, they're editing things and we're like, why didn't they put this in there?
So, it's a right. facial reaction that somebody made that was expression that was towards something else. And they'll do it right. like
yeah, yeah, it's just like all yeah. pieced together yeah. sometimes. Mm-hmm. And
so, it's some things are taken out of context.
Like, you and Marlo are definitely not cool with each other right now at this point.
No, because she was coming after me the whole season. It started.
Why do you think that is?
She's not a wife. She's not a mother. She, you know, she doesn't have the things that I have. So she just looked at me like I was a target. Like it could be jealousy. Who knows? But
so, because I don't know much about these shows. So what is it like? We on this show and we just hang out with people that we don't like.
Did you know Marlo before the show?
No, I didn't know Marlo.
So that's what I don't understand how these things happen. I knew Candy,
and me and Portia went to elementary, middle school, and high school.
They just put them. They basically just gonna put you together with people. So if
some people you know, some people you don't.
Yeah, yeah.
So if she's trying to get in a situation, I'm not 100% sure about her, but like she might be in a situation where she wants to be a main cast member. So what she's gonna do is she's gonna come at a main cast member, so that gives her more light. Oh, so now since she's the newest cast member. Clearly, she has attention.
Clearly, L'Oreal was on Love & Hip Hop.
I was on Love & Hip Hop.
I was like, I knew her from
so that's way. All it is. You know, everybody's trying to secure their spot so that they can get WWF. Their
but you, yeah. it's not that same much shit. Securing in the world when you've been on the Housewives for 6 seasons right. and you don't have a peach. Right. And I come on first time and have a peach.
So you know, when they get in main, the peach,
you know, the main cast member. Like, that's
with the gown.
Georgia Peach like really doing some okay. shit. So, like, that's another reason why I think she just been coming after.
She was already successful as a person.
Yeah, right? I already was doing my thing before. Yeah. Like, I even came on The Housewives.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to lie, the back and forth is so funny because she be going up. She's like, listen, friend of the show. Right. I'm like, damn. She call her a friend of the show.
Twitter wars.
I've seen it. It was funny.
Forth. Yes, we have. Yes.
Now, Ronnie, do you get upset when you see that and you're like, if y'all don't stop fucking with my wife?
Not at all. Like, for me, when we agreed to jump into that world, that's what comes with it. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, if you're not a fighter, if you're not jumping in, then you're going to be the one that they're labeling as boring. And right. I'm like, I know my wife is not rocking like that. So every now and then it's like, yo, what happened? Okay, cool. You made that thing right. Like, I was proud of Shamari ultimately when she let Marlo know what the F was going on. Mm-hmm. Like, don't sit back. You know, like your mama didn't raise you that way. It's not like we're confrontational people, but I know right. one thing, when Shamari feels disrespected, mm-hmm. she turns into a different beast. Mm-hmm. And,
totally
you know,
different.
Marlo crossed that line and she had to get that thing on her. So, I mean, it is what it is. We just feel like it's a platform, it's eyeballs, right?
Y'all got an album coming
yeah,
out.
We yes. feel like, yeah, we feel like it's the storm, you know, it's the muck, it's the trenches. But it's the darkness, you know, and my grandmother would always say it's darkest before the dawn. So mm-hmm. we're going through some shit right now with all the comments and people saying, well, you know, Ronnie, why did you accept doing that? Like, we loved you from New Edition. Like, right. you need to get off the show. And they're
she's
saying,
she's ruining
Shamari,
your legacy
yeah,
and
just
all that.
That and the third. But we feel like it's leading us to allow us to speak on our purpose ultimately, right. And that's being marriage ambassadors.
And a lot of people are talking about y'all.
Yeah, being truthful. That's like, good. Yo, like, right. We're being transparent. Like, right. Our shit stinks. Like, you know, right. Everybody's acting like, you know, it's a perfect world and it's not.
We're not perfect. Yeah.
But ultimately, we're sharing because we care.
We're a couple. Yeah, we represent like love and compassion and forgiveness. Right. That's what we represent.
And some talent.
And right. Talent.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What about right. You, Rico? Would you ever consider doing something?
No.
Why not? I mean, because we've seen you on the artist side of things.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. I just don't feel comfortable putting my personal situation out there. I don't knock somebody else who does. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, and this is not... I look at Ronnie DeVoe is a legend, right?
So does Shamari. So does Shamari. Yeah. So does Shamari. Yeah. Like, a legend.
So when you did say your fans feel that way, mm-hmm. I didn't know you was on the show because I don't watch. Right. But I will say this, and it's me being honest because I'm a fan. I'm a true fan. Is that you do feel like I don't want to see that. I'm from the era of I don't even want to know. All I want to know is you on the stage. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. We in a different era. We in a new time where people want to know the backstory. So I respect that. And but I do know that I'm that type of fan.
Now, Rico.
I'm the type of fan that like to see that.
You
like,
was on Love & Hip Hop.
No, but I wasn't on Love & Hip Hop.
He was just personally. In the studio.
Yeah, but.
No, I was on Love & Hip Hop doing straight music.
I don't, but Ronnie's every out in there fighting.
No, I'm not trying to say. Right. I'm not trying to say that he has to be. I never saw him
he
on
He doesn't know his
yeah.
I don't know anything about what he does on there. But I'm just saying like, I'm a different type of fan, mm-hmm. though, so I can understand a new type of fan. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So if you ask me for my personal, how I personally view New Edition as a deity. I view them as like gods of music. That. So when I go and see, when you know, let's not even go way back. I remember going to the Any Heartbreak Tour and when they had Keith Sweat and 702 opening up and you know, I just being there and experiencing one of my first concerts, and I love that. So I'm from an era where I didn't want to know the personal shit.
Yeah.
I just wanted you to be the star and on TV. Mm-hmm. But I do know that things have changed. Yeah. Right. If you want to exist in today's climate, we can't exist as we were back in the day. So
and
I'm
if you have a real marriage.
Same era. Right. I'm from that same era.
I could tell on the show, I'd be like, Ronnie don't want to talk about it.
I'm from that same era. And it's wild because, you know, you sweep the dirty laundry under the rug. You keep that in the closet, right? And I think that's one of the things that led to the success of the New Edition stories, because we really didn't let people in on that world. Mm-hmm. So when it came, mm-hmm. it's like, yo, okay, Bobby I can't did, wait to see what the hell these cats was doing off the Bobby camera. And
he was going to jail.
Sure
did.
He got a booger? That's love. She picked a booger out his nose.
Now you gotta eat it.
Yeah, I'm damn sure
that's love.
Yo, that ain't real love. You threw it out.
Close ups on me. Yeah. Did you play it? No, you did. Don't tell me.
I've been looking at it. I've been trying to think of the perfect time and just get it out. But you know what? I'm like, it's no perfect time.
That's love. Remember when Bobby dug the doodoo out of it?
That was similar, but
yo,
like
I say, I do understand. We have to be mature enough to have our perspective, but we also have to understand that things change and we can't expect everybody to move the way we envision mm-hmm. them moving as a fan. Because as a fan, it's realities that come into play and you do have to take your career to the next level.
Yeah.
But I don't like to see black women fighting each other. Well, it's about nothing, especially when you don't have to. That's why I always feel like, well, you don't know her. So if you don't like her, why don't you stop hanging around her? You know, mm-hmm. so those shows kind of confuse me a lot because it's like.
They put y'all together.
Like these are people who are successful.
And it's gold for them.
Like, I'm right there with you. You know, one of Shamari's favorite shows, not back in the day, but, you know, a few years back was the Bad Girls Club, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, why are you watching this Bad Girls Club, right? So one day.
They asked L'Oreal to be on that.
Right. So one day, I'm like, okay, well, let me just sit down. You know, we just lounging. I'm in the bed. And I'm just checking it out. Like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yo, hold on. Wait, turn that up.
But she just does that. It pulls you in.
It does.
Like, don't let it be a marathon. You're going to be in the bed all day watching
everything that happens.
I saw one episode of the Kardashians, and it was when Kim lost her ring in the water.
Oh, mm. God.
That was the only episode I ever saw. Dropped in the water.
She started crying.
And I've only watched the Love & Hip Hop that I've been on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But even anytime they ask me to be on it, mm-hmm. I always tell them, if it's about music, we can talk about it. So right. I do a music conference every year called the We Love Music Conference, mm-hmm. and it's helped develop songwriters and producers and artists. And this year we're having it July 12th and 13th in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And what's cool about it is they asked me to be on Love & Hip Hop Miami this year, mm-hmm. and I told them I'll be on it, but it has to be us doing the We Love Music Conference.
Right, right.
And I put my logo on the back, mm-hmm. and it's promoting the conference, and it was actually all me and like four females, including Trina, Dreezy, you know, Miss Mulatto, and just female rappers up there just kind of having a discussion. So I use it as a platform to promote my brand. I'm not totally against appearing on those things and using a platform, because I've been on the early Love & Hip Hops with Olivia and, you know, a few people, but it was always them, Tierra Marie. It was always them discussing music and trying to get my point of view and perspective as far as their career is concerned.
And you guys do have an album coming out.
Right. Same thing for us.
So use it as a vehicle.
You know, they showed us, the first episode they showed us in the studio.
Singing Love Comes Through.
Right.
By me and Mari.
Right. Available on all platforms right now.
Available on all digital platforms right now.
Also, I got an album out right now called Eva King's Die, so you can check that out too.
There you go. I mean, and for us, that's what it is. We felt like, okay, we're marriage ambassadors. Not to say that again.
I see your hat, Married for Life.
Married for Life.
His hat is Married for Life. We do a Married for Life walk every single year. This is the third annual Married for Life walk coming up April 27th in Atlanta, Georgia. And we have like 500 couples and it's we walk That's together. What it was last we reaffirm.
Year, this year, who knows?
It's going to probably be way more than that.
You got to do one in New York so it could be Juices for Life and Married for Life. Wouldn't that make sense? Yeah, because Juices for Life is the juice bar.
You have the juice bar right after that Married for Life walk.
Look, you get what I'm saying?
Because you get thirsty after that 2 miles, they're going to need something to
drink. Figure that out.
You feel me?
Oh my God, what if somebody's side piece show up?
That's how we looked at it. That's how we looked at it. Like, how do we increase the amount of eyeballs that are on us so that we can speak to family and speak to community and all these different things? And if we got to walk through the mud to a certain extent until we can get to that position,
be transparent so that people can relate to the challenges that we've gone through and know that you can win that faith fight and be happier and stronger in love after you go through those challenges, then we're going to be as transparent as possible because that helps.
As married couples, do y'all ever have like, and for you two, Rico, married, do you ever have like a dry period? Because I always hear people talking about, we haven't had sex in months and it's da 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 da. And like, what's the longest dry period that you've ever had?
Oh my God.
Probably about what? Maybe about 4 or 5 months.
This was longer than that.
Really?
Yeah, around the time that we were
going through our stuff.
It was about at least eight, nine months.
And do you remember the first time y'all had sex again after that?
I don't remember specifically, but
because it has to be like monumental. Because you know when that happens,
Because
my friends that are married complain all the time. They'd be like, "We never have sex," and sometimes he sleeps on the couch.
Right.
Oh, see, no, that happens.
What's that?
Excuse me. She said sometimes the husband would sleep on the couch.
Yeah, but not even sleeping on the couch.
Whenever I sleep on the couch, it's just because I'm watching ESPN.
And you fall asleep.
And I fall asleep.
You're watching porn on the computer.
Right, or you're mad and you don't want to come to bed with me.
Porn ain't even really a thing.
He's skipping. See, I don't like the mad and sleeping on the couch thing.
That's happened. I mean, I can probably count on one hand the times that I went downstairs feeling like, you know, I just don't want to talk about it right now. And again, I'm watching TV or something, and then I end up falling asleep on the couch. It's not like, yo, I'm just going to sleep on the couch tonight, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, look, they're telling me you guys still haven't eaten dinner. But I do appreciate y'all. This was very interesting because, you know, L'Oreal and I have not been married.
No.
So I love to hear the perspectives for married couples because it is a challenging thing, you know, clearly for a lot of people. But I love to see that you guys have gone through your challenges, come through on the other side, so in love, love each other, got an album coming out together. Yes. When is it coming out?
Our ultimate blessing.
On our anniversary, how long we've been married? 13 years.
Oh, that's my lucky number.
So on our 13th anniversary, we will release the album.
Yes.
March 10th, 2019.
Yes, yes. It's exciting times. Exciting times for us.
Is it finished?
Nope.
It's never finished before it comes out, right?
Constantly working on music. We feel like we're going to do maybe 2 more joints. But since 2013. 2013, mm-hmm. we started working on music. So, we, man,
yeah,
we
whenever like, it's like a few months out, joints, you still be like
in recording. The can, mm-hmm. crazy. You know, all of them ain't sick. Like out of the 50, I'd probably say 30 of them joints are like ridiculous, even still to this day. So
that's a lot.
It's a process.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
That's,
quite a
that's dope.
Mm-hmm. Rico album's out right now.
Even King's Die available right now.
Mm-hmm. Even
go
King's
get that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
go get that.
And what can we expect from you, by the way?
It's a lot going on, you know. I just executive produced Big Crit's project. Me and myself and T.I., we've developed a television show that we're working on, and we went through the final stages of writing the script and putting the script together. We got a few people, few networks that's trying
it's
to get
scripted
it.
A show?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was something that we developed a few years ago, but we kind of like... Tip is just a real stand-up guy because I wrote this concept a few years ago and I gave it to him, and some people run off with your idea. Uh-huh, so like 3-4 years later, he hit me up and say, yo, remember that concept you gave me? I got like 5 networks want to buy it. So I'm like, what?
Oh, wow.
And he, you know, we've been going back and forth with the script, and we've been doing a lot of cool things with that as far as that's concerned. So we've been having a lot of fun. I've been working with a lot of different artists, you know, just
always
developing and doing a Rico Love Presents. Where I'm just kind of developing new acts and branding new artists, but also
Lip Service Live in Miami with Rico Love.
Yes. Yeah, that's got to happen. Also, I want the people to understand is a story to be told about people in this game who are able to weather storms.
Right.
And I went through a very tough time the past few years, being sued by so many different people and being wrongly accused of business Man. Dealings and things like that, and actually losing lawsuits. And a lot of times that can be career ending, and that can be like almost life ending mm-hmm. tragedies. And I was able to overcome all those things and bounce right. back and get my everything back right and without even people even knowing.
That's the true character.
And that's the, not even is
because we take those losses. Yeah,
it's
have true, to at some time. It's we true all
character.
Have to take losses.
It's true character to be able to bounce back, but it's a blessing when you were able to go through it in private.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the media will get a hold yeah. and find out you're being sued, or mm-hmm. find out this company had went under, or find out this had happened, and this, you know, so to be able to go through those things and come through it on the other side, I don't want to say unscathed, but I know it was just a difficult period for me, and that's why this project meant so much. Just release it for the people, because I used to tell Angela I was never going to do another project, mm-hmm. but be able to do it and go through so much and come back on the other side. I'm very much inspired by you all, because I'd never ever believed in marriage. I never believed in it. I never believed that it could work. I never believed that it was. I just never was a fan of it because I never had examples around me of successful marriages.
Right.
So to see black love is inspiring.
Yeah.
And I'm praying that you guys continue to weather all storms. And I'm just happy to be in the presence of people who I can learn something from, because that's right. always.
How did going through what you went through affect your marriage?
It was very, very, it's one of those things where, you know, I don't even really want to even get into it, but it's just one of those things where it's just so heavy on all parties, especially, like I said, it's difficult to have empathy for anybody who hurts you.
Mm.
So when you're going through rough times and you're with somebody who you feel like did you wrong at a period of time, you almost like, it's almost like somebody could watch you go through it and not be affected.
Yeah. You feel like it's
like
karma.
Karma. Mm-hmm.
That's what, you be that's like, that's karma. Sometimes. But what they don't understand is I was planted, not buried. So a lot of times when you plant it, people confuse that for being buried. And when you're being watered, you're growing into something bigger than what it was. So that's people nice around you can't dictate.
Like, yo,
what son, you got to understand?
I'm going to have to pay you some publishing on that one.
No, but what yes. you have to understand is there is, man does not dictate karma to me.
Right.
And that's why I don't even believe in karma. I believe you reap what you sow. That's biblical.
Mm-hmm.
So karma is man-made. Karma is another person's way of trying to dictate to you what you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And God is the only person that can dictate to me what I deserve.
Right.
So even at my roughest times, I look back on it and I say, I was planted. I wasn't buried. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people who you've wronged, because in life, we're not perfect and we can wrong people. Sometimes as we go through things, it's difficult for them to have empathy for us because they're human. That doesn't make them bad people. That doesn't make they didn't. But sometimes it's human. They can watch you and say, well, that's what you get. Not understanding.
You hurt them so much.
But not understanding, like, no, this ain't what I get. This is the blessing. This is what's going to make me stronger. This is the thing that I was just a seed before. And as a seed, I was recognized and praised for being this amazing seed. But now that the seed is planted and now you're seeing what the seed really is, it's like, oh, I was in love with the idea of who you were just as a seed.
Right.
Now that it's sprouted into something.
There you go.
Wow. So you can't look at it and say, you got what you deserve. No, you were supposed to go through all those things right. to make you who you are today and make mm-hmm. you stronger and make money, you the plant that you developed into that's now. Great. So I'm appreciative of all of the hard times, and I appreciate all of the struggles and all of the lawsuits, because the character that I've been able to build and maturity I'm able to have as a man is priceless. You can't put a price on that. That's the type of schooling that you can't pay no university for.
Well, I appreciate you coming through and sharing with us, because I know it was a lot and very heavy on you.
Absolutely.
Like I said, you know, we trying to do two more songs, man. It'd be a beautiful
thing. Man, it'd be an honor.
Yes.
It would be an honor.
Me and Mari, aka the DeVos.
All I would ask is that you guys just come to Miami.
Let's do it.
If you come to Miami, it'll be much more fun.
All we ask is that lip service is somewhere in that.
Yeah, can we come to the video?
The words lip service.
Like, for us, it's out of the box. Like, it's not straight R&B. Like, we love soca music. We love Afrobeats. We love merengue. We love.
She just got to figure out a way to marriage it and bridge it together to what people be familiar with.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's dope. I like that.
Okay, a little trap Afro soca. See.
Listen, right. If it's an award, it's an award for all of us. Just know.
I like Grammys.
Yeah.
Well, thank y'all so much. We appreciate it. This was a really fun, entertaining, and very educational and uplifting lip service.
Right.
Yes. Thank you.
Now
thank
we got to turn the lights off.
Turn them off. We got to get some more boogies out of our.
Thanks again to Smilf for supporting Lip Service. This podcast is brought to you by Smilf, returning to Showtime with all new episodes starting January 20th. Bridget Bird is redefining what it means to be young, single, and a mom. Raw, honest, and relatable, Smilf also stars Frankie Shaw, Rosie O'Donnell, and Connie Britton. Only on Showtime.